This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we say thank you. We are grateful for the help we have received this morning. We say thank you. Thank you for how you have started with us. Thank you for all the prayers. Thank you for the answers we have received. Even as we starting Supernatural Clinic this morning, receive your help once again. Receive your breath upon us once again. Receive your inspiration upon our hearts, that every word being spoken this morning, O God, that it will help us. We are going to receive your mercies even as you speak to us. We are grateful for the praise reports we've received so far. We pray that even as we are going into these teachings, that there will be much more praise reports, that every one of us will receive boldness of heart, to be able to witness even the gospel. Everywhere we find ourselves, readiness of heart, that understanding to know that we are meant to witness. I pray that you help us even in today's teaching to find how to do that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Okay, we're in lesson 5, and the topic for today is how to witness the gospel to the dead and the lost. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. Unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And he say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 5, 13 to 15. Want to go? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 1 Timothy 2, 4-6. Who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. John chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Habakkuk 2:14. Say, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. We have two objectives this morning. And the first is to give scriptural insight into the believer's responsibility and approach in witnessing and propagating the gospel to the world. The second one is to emphasize the role and functionality of the Holy Spirit and how believers are to engage him in witnessing to the dead and the lost. Every man is continually being preached to, and all men give heed to one message or another. Much of this communication is influenced by Satan and is designed to keep man on the path of death. Man can only be intercepted from this course through the preaching of the gospel. Proverbs 14 verse 12. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. Many voices within the earth continually speak to man, and Satan has emboldened most men to propagate their evil ways and influence others for the sake of acceptance and conformity. Yet the gospel is often despised, and even believers are intimidated in standing for and declaring their convictions. Though the gospel is accompanied by much angelic activity and divine assistance, believers remain God's appointed vessels to bear and proclaim the message to the uttermost parts of the earth. We can see that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Matthew 28 verse 18 to 19, and Psalm 68 verse 11. The body shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Psalm 68 verse 11. So the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Every platform and medium has been influenced by the adversary to keep man in continual exposure to corruption. Yet, these same channels can be employed by believers for the propagation of the gospel. Believers are not to wait for a supposedly convenient moment to preach Christ. Witnessing ought to be a continual manner of spirit-filled life. Therefore, every believer must discern and attend to the world around them that is in need of the gospel. For many have been overtaken by Satan's deception and remain ignorant of the truth and salvation found in Christ. You know, the introduction makes us to see that everything on earth is a preacher. Everything on earth preaches to us every day. There's no man that wakes up, goes to bed 24 hours, you know, 7 days in a week, 30 days in a month, that does not hear preaching. Every man is being preached to. The question is, what is being preached? And who is preaching? I don't know if it's your alarm that wakes you up in the morning, or you wake up by yourself, or the alarm rings, you put it off, you sleep, and then eventually when you wake up, there's still something that still preaches to you as a man. Because, you know, by the time you just wake up and the first thing that hits your airspace is that, who has sent me a message? And then you open your mobile devices, put on your data, and then, okay, let me see what I've missed. You slept 12 midnight, or maybe 1 a.m. in the middle of the night, and you are waking up maybe 5:36, and you feel that, maybe somebody has dropped the message within that time. And you are going to change. You know, that thing is a preaching. Because you feel that that thing stands as the most important in your order of priority. When they check your heart, what your heart places as order of priority, that thing stands. And that's how many people are. The way the thing even is that you can engage videos on particular channels 24 hours in a day and you cannot exhaust it. What has been put in the cloud can never be exhausted by one single human being. Say, okay, I want to finish the whole videos on YouTube today. And you start watching. You can never finish it. In fact, it is so much program that 365 days in a year, for another 70 years, you can never finish it. So I'm just trying to say that everything on earth preaches. Everything on earth today has a voice. Even things that are inanimate, they preach to you. You go out there and you see the prosperity of the wicked. You know, you see cars, you see different things, you see houses, and those things are talking to you. But your soul can hear even inanimate things. And those things are preaching to you. And that is why a believer must ensure that you must also be preaching. Truth of the matter is that if you don't preach to certain people, they'll never come into proximity of hearing the gospel as they ought to hear it. And you know, preaching the gospel is not a pre-programmed robotic action. You know, a robot or something that has been pre-programmed always has a particular response to every particular situation. And some of us, that's how we preach the gospel. When you want to go for morning cry, you have it A to Z. This is exactly what I will say. This is what I will respond with. And you know, you have it all outlined like that. But that is not actual, because when you are ministering, you are supposed to be in tune with the Holy Ghost inside of you. Sometimes when you are ministering, the example that stood out for me, you know, is the Apostle Paul. He said, when I was walking in your midst, I observed your devotions. And I found an inscription on a particular altar. So every man on earth has devotions. Every man on earth has altars. And there are inscriptions on all their altars. If you could only be attentive, you will see a particular place to come in through. He said, I was observing your devotions and I saw a particular inscription on an altar. He said, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. This was a particular manner of witnessing the gospel. When you look at Apostle Paul, when he was ministering to the Jews, he didn't come this way. When he was preaching the gospel to the Jews, sometimes he would come from our father Abraham. Sometimes he would come from the place of Israel, was in Egypt for a particular period of years, and God delivered them by his mighty arm. And he would tell them the story because that is what they understand. So I'm just trying to say that the witnessing of the gospel does not follow a stereotype. Is not to be boxed in a particular method. But the truth of the matter is that you must preach. You must open your mouth and you must preach. Every platform, everywhere you go to, every organization, every, you know, work you do, every job, every person you interact with, they have a particular thing they are projecting. They have a message that they are preaching. And it might not be necessarily Jesus Christ. That's where Satan stays. Satan stays at that point, you know, to ensure that man hears everything. 1 Corinthians 14. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So all these voices, they are passing a particular message. They are preaching. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Let's look at the basic understanding a believer should have about witnessing the gospel. God owns all souls, and he alone draws men unto salvation. By the Holy Ghost, he convicts men and regenerates the dead spirit. Therefore, a believer must maintain both compassion and zeal, understanding clearly that his role is to bear the message of the gospel, while conviction and the turning of the heart belong to God. Witnessing involves standing in faith, patience, and persistence. A believer must be instant in speaking the word and remain in faith concerning the potency of the gospel to transform lives. While some may believe and respond to the gospel at the first hearing, others may require a process or a series of events orchestrated by the Lord before coming to salvation, especially unsaved loved ones. The gospel is preached to the spiritually dead that they may believe, and to the lost that they may repent. The unsaved are required to believe and confess Christ in order to receive the salvation found in the Son. Therefore, both the dead and the lost must be witnessed to, so they may be delivered from the hand of the adversary. Witnessing does not involve argument, oppression, judgment, discrimination, condemnation, or pressuring others into salvation, but rather the sincere presentation of the gospel in love, truth, and meekness. Importantly, a believer must remain dynamic by the Spirit and be careful to follow the promptings within his spirit concerning the steps to take and the approach to use in ensuring that the spiritually dead are brought to salvation. Proverbs 25 verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A believer's life is the greatest witness. Christ should be manifested through conduct and daily living, while faithfully praying according to the scriptures for the salvation of unsaved loved ones and family members. You know, if a man lives according to the spirit of the age, you would never be able to witness effectively. You can be a believer, you know, but, you know, there's something they call the characteristics of the age. Especially, you know, when you say you're a Gen Z person, there's a way you want to keep to yourself. There's a way you just want your space. You don't want disturbance. I mind my business. You mind your business. You know, certain kind of traits that, in fact, you know, when you get to work in the morning, there's no excitement. There's no joy that shows that you have been with Jesus. Everybody's face is downcast. You yourself, you are even more downcast. That they are the ones asking you, that sister, I hope you are fine. My brother, I hope all is okay. Maybe on your way coming, you had issues with the bus conductor. They refused to give you change. And then maybe that was the only money you were holding on to for your lunch. And different things that happen. And when you get to the office, you carry that vibe inside the office. And peradventure, there was just somebody that morning that needed to be ministered to. But then, here you come. You are the one in need of ministration. Mama said that whenever she gets to the office, the way she greets everybody, not just good morning, there is a joy. Good morning, and with a bright smile, and everybody's like, ah, what is, hope this woman is. You understand? Because they'll be like, okay, why is she excited? Why is she joyful? They just said the price of fuel has increased. And why is she still excited in the midst of all this condition? What does she know that we don't know? No, that can just be an avenue to kickstart a conversation. I say, ah, things can be bad in the world, though, but my economy is different. What do you mean by that? Your economy is different. Are we not all under this economy? The same economy that they will start, say, no. You can come into another economy. You can be in the world, but not be of this world. And before you know it, you started a conversation with a particular man of God. You know, he was in the plane, and you know, the way he started the conversation to minister the gospel was that, ah, do you know my father is very rich? He owns 1,000 hills with cattle. And the person was like, really? Who is this, your father? You know, that thing is in the Bible. That God owns 1,000 hills. All the 1,000 hills are his. All the cattle on it, they belong to him. Say, I have a father. And my so the economy of this world cannot pressure me because I have a father. And from there, a conversation started. But he said, oh, who is this, your father? Tell me about him. You see, go further. I say, okay, every precious resource on the earth, he knows where they are. He's the owner of all this gold that people are fighting on. My father knows, and you have not gone to meet the government. Say, I don't need that. Because my father owns all. That is the only thing that can open some people up. Some people, if you just go there and say, greetings in the name of Jesus, they've already locked up. Say, this guy has come again. They will just lock up. Say, I come to you in the name of Jesus. They'll just put on earpiece. But then, you know, look at how the apostles engaged the people they engaged. Paul did not go to that hill of Athens and begin to say that I come to you. No. He came through what they were serving. He came through their devotion and their altar. So if you are a person that you don't pay attention to details, you will never be able to minister effectively. Because you just want to come in one way. That, okay. So, and that thing is a dealing that the Holy Ghost will work on your inside. That you can pay attention to details. You can see somebody. It can be 3 months. Somebody is doing a particular thing. Holy Ghost, you just be looking at this person. Nobody will pay attention. Then Holy Ghost, yeah, go and talk to this person. Say, ah, I noticed you've been doing this for the past. And you were not like this. Ah, how come you're observing me that much? And then from there, a conversation can start. But you don't even know anything about the person. You just feel like, is it that if you take Jesus, it's fine. If you don't take Jesus, it's fine. Manager, I've just preached to you. But look at the apostles. They came in from the need. When they are ministering to the Jews, you always see them saying that God has raised a savior for us. Because the Jews understood the concept of a savior. From the natural point of view, they were expecting a Messiah. A Gentile is not expecting a Messiah. So you cannot go and tell him that there's a Messiah for you. Who is a Messiah? But a Jew has an understanding because over the years, God raised different Messiahs for them that delivered them from physical oppression. And then they were waiting for a Messiah that would come and deliver them. But Jesus came and they crucified him. That is where they always came through. They understood that, oh, a Messiah, how come? But you cannot carry that same method and minister to the Gentile like that. Because he does not have any understanding of who a Messiah is. In fact, when Apostle Paul was ministering, he said, certain of your poets wrote. You can see how that man was.
certain of your poets wrote, "In him we live." That thing that we all quote today is a poet of these people worshiping the unknown God that wrote that thing. He was writing to the unknown God that we don't know this God, but in him we live, we move and have our being. And Paul had read that thing. So he was ministering to them from their immediate devotion and their altars. So he was using what their poet wrote. He did not even say, as Isaiah said. Say, certain of your poets wrote. So when that poet was writing, he didn't even know that Holy Ghost was around him. He was writing to the unknown God, that poet entered scripture. But at that point, as he was writing, there was an inspiration around him. He did not know what he was writing. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also," what? "His offspring." Certain of their poets that were serving the unknown God. Said they were given to idolatry and all the likes. But in the middle of all the idolatry, their heart was still looking for something. They now wrote to the unknown God. You know, sometimes it is in the questions of people that you can reach them. Some people have genuine questions. Some people don't just know. And in the midst of not knowing, who they were really looking for was that unknown God. But in the quest of seeking the unknown God, they had hewn different altars for themselves. So when you see a person might have garrisoned himself around with certain attitudes, it's because he's looking for something that made him come up. He said he was dead because the whole city was given to idolatry. But in the middle of that, there was a yearning, a cry for the unknown God. And Apostle Paul could identify that by the Holy Ghost. So when he was walking amongst them, he was not on YouTube or on Instagram 24/7. That thing of being self-conceited, just being in your own world. He was observing their devotions. He was observing their altars. He was even paying attention to the inscriptions that was on their devotions. Every man has a devotion. Every man has altars and their inscriptions. And if you can, by the Holy Ghost, pay attention, you will have an inroad to how to minister the gospel to them. But what the devil has done, even believers, when you get to the office, your spare time is phone. You just say, "I want to relax. Let me just go through reels." Just scrolling, 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 ha ha ha, laughing to yourself. And their colleagues around you, that their devotions and altars is calling for the unknown God. Apostle Paul did not go and start telling them that, you know, there's a Messiah, Israel was in there. Look at even Stephen. When he wanted to start ministering to the Jews, he started from our father Abraham. You can't tell that to a Gentile. He doesn't know our father Abraham. So they always minister within the jurisdiction of who they are talking to. You got our father Abraham. Those people understood our father Abraham. Now, when I read Acts chapter 13, I was amazed. Apostle Paul went to a synagogue. So that place was a Gentile place, but they had Jews there. And they had Gentiles there. And he ministered to touch both the Jews and the Gentiles. At a particular point, he quoted scriptures that related to the Gentiles. And all the Gentiles there were happy. Because he was telling the Jews that you guys have counted yourself unworthy of everlasting life. But we now turn to the Gentiles. And by the time it's finished, many of the Gentiles began to follow him. Because like I say, they don't look up on us. So let's just follow this man. So the wisdom of understanding is not something that the human mind can fathom. You have to do it with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a person that you are not conscious of the Holy Ghost and have that wisdom. This wisdom is what the Holy Ghost will teach you. How to relate to A and how to relate with B. The way you enter A is not the same way you enter with B. It's not the same way. Mass evangelism can reach some people. Some people, mass evangelism will not reach them. Look at Philip. You know, that particular place has always stayed with me. Philip was instructed by an angel after a mass crusade. Everybody, the whole town was filled with the Holy Ghost. They called the apostles, prayed for them. People were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, manifest signs and wonders. And he was sitting in the height of that when he had a prompting, go this particular direction. And he was going, do you know that I'm very certain that it's possible that he would have met with other unbelievers on the road. But he did not wait to minister the gospel to them. Because there was already a ripe harvest moving, that if he had delayed, he would have missed that person. Because he was in a chariot moving. So they had to calculate the exact time for him to move. I'm sure they would have given him the pace to walk in. To get to that point at the exact time that he saw a man in a chariot reading a particular scripture. And they told him, join yourself to this person. And he joined himself. And he said, he was reading Isaiah 53. And he said, who is this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or another? He ministered Jesus to him from that scripture. That was a man with a genuine question. His heart was seeking. And they had to orchestrate somebody at that exact point. You know, sometimes when the Holy Ghost ministers to you to speak to somebody, they've done the background work. Who was around that man to be reading that scripture? Was the Holy Ghost? They've already done the background work. That man, only God knows when he has been reading that Isaiah 53 up and down. Who is this man? He just wanted to know who the man was. Holy Ghost would have ministered to him. And then he just say, oh yeah, go to this particular person. And sometimes you begin to preach, you see that the person will be so receptive. You can even lead the person to Christ. And you think that, it's because I preached. It's because you preached, but somebody has already done the work. Ministering, preaching the gospel, witnessing cannot be done without the Holy Ghost. It cannot be done if we are not the people, you know, that live in the Spirit. If we are not sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Philip the evangelist heard the voice of an angel clearly. And he could also pick the voice of the Spirit. How did he even design it? They wrote it that an angel spoke to him. And then the Spirit said to him. They knew the difference because these men were living ghosted lives. They were not in for the funfair of the world. They had just one business. They had just one thing, to please Jesus. To ensure that my life counts for Jesus. That's what they were living for. They were not living for self-entertainment. They were not living for self-pleasure. They were not living for human gratification. They were not living pursuing urgent 2K daily. You are going to walk, but the core of your heart is not that walk. The core of my heart should not be resident, domiciled in my work. That I can be at work from 8 to 5 and I have been so much sucked into that work. And when I'm coming out drained. Babylon to Mejemiyo. Don't know, they are sucking your blood. If there's anything they call the vampire, is Babylon. From 8 o'clock like this, they are bringing their teeth to your neck. Begin to suck you. And you'll be saying, a deadline, this deadline, this thing. Sometimes you intentionally pull out. And you pray in tongues. This thing, this deadline, I want to bring a lifeline to it. It's dead men that do deadlines. When there are a lot of deadlines around you, just plug into life and bring a lifeline into this thing. Because if not, you just see that and the work never finishes. As you are finishing with one, they're asking for the other one. Once you have done it, they clap for you. What's the next thing? That's the next thing. And that's how it is. The next thing. Because there's a whole lot to achieve. And funny enough, if tomorrow something happens to you, the same question is who next? Another person will just come in and it will be as though you were never there. So, is that system you want to pour out your life for? So, even in the midst of that place, your heart is scouting. Your mind is alert, sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Because you're also there transacting, doing business with the Lord. Let's look at practices and approach to effective witnessing. Prayer is the first one. Prayer is essential, for nothing should be done without it. Every soul belongs to the Lord and is reached through prayer and the gospel. Therefore, a believer must be continually given to prayer in order to witness effectively. Acts chapter 4, when the disciples went back to their company and they were threatened, as their custom was. See, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. One thing that I could see in these people's prayer is an understanding of scriptures. You know, any of us, when you want to pray for maybe a particular person, yes, when we are praying in tongues, and also there is no scripture that the Holy Ghost can quicken within you that can tally with a particular situation for you to pray from there. Look at what these people prayed. They prayed from the book of Psalms, right? Why did the hidden rage? They had an understanding of that scripture, right? It's not just our God, dude, they are threatening us to just save us. There was a thought that the Holy Ghost built in them to be able to arrive at that point whereby they began to say that, grant us boldness. Look at how they petitioned that prayer before the Lord. Because these were people giving to the word. You could see it in later Acts chapter 6, we are going to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. So these were people giving to the word and prayer. So every of their prayer was laced with the word. That was what brought for effective prayer, even for the lost and the unsaved. That was where they were able to found from in the place of prayer. So you must be giving continually to prayer. Genuine burden and passion for the lost are cultivated in the place of prayer. It is also in prayer that believers receive direction concerning what to see and how to witness. Therefore, a believer is not expected to engage in witnessing through zeal alone, but strategically through the leading of the Spirit. The next practice is speaking. After praying, you must know that you have to speak. So Holy Ghost does not endorse, you know, this place of saying, oh, my nature, I'm just a shy person. I can't talk to people. You know, I can only share tracts. There'll be certain situations that Holy Ghost will say, okay, you can just share this tract to this particular person and individual. But much more, Holy Ghost wants us to do what? To speak. Everywhere Apostle Paul went to, everywhere Peter went to, everywhere, you know, Philip went to, what they were doing was that they were speaking. We must not remain silent about the good news of our Lord Jesus, but should boldly and eagerly proclaim his love, his sacrifice, and his power to save. Acts 4 verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's the apostles. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Witnessing is not based on human eloquence or wisdom, but on dependence on the Holy Spirit to proclaim the free gift and victory of Jesus Christ. Believers must step out in faith, remain flexible to the Spirit's leading, and avoid over-reliance on past experiences or knowledge. And look at the different ways Apostle Paul ministered to different people. Acts chapter 13 from verse 1. See, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Let's go to verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. Bar means father, son of Jesus, but was a false prophet, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. So the reason why this man had a sorcerer around him was because he so was panting for the supernatural. He wanted more. He was prudent, but he still wanted more. So unfortunately, he found Bar Jesus. But when he heard about Paul and Barnabas, he said, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God? Now let's hear what's next. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, what? No, sometimes, if we are not filled with the Holy Ghost, there will be some resistance we'll have that will just back away. And it's not all resistances that you should back away from. Because the person resisting you is not even the person you're ministering to. This person wanted to turn away the deputy from the word of God. seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Did not need to preach plenty gospel again. Did not need to preach again. Then the deputy, when he saw what has been done, say he believes. Let's say, they don't need to go and start saying, God of our Abraham, just see what was done. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, they were in this particular synagogue, and they called them, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. So he took them back to Egypt, right? And with an I am brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 400 years, went through the years of judges until Samuel, you know, and gave them Saul, also gave them David, you know. And when he had removed him, he raised unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. You know, I'm sure the Jews would be like, this man, no Bible. Can we just saying everything? You know, of this man's seed, had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a savior. Can we say a savior? I'm sure their ears will be at alert when they hear a savior, Jesus, because they understood the concept of a savior. All the judges he mentioned were saviors, you know, in different measures. Then he also went back to John, because they knew John. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet are not worthy to lose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And talked about Jesus, and though they found no cause of death in him, they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days, of which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And he preached to them resurrection from the dead, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, and the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed who? Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Look at how he ministered the gospel to Elymas and Sergius Paulus. Look how he came here to these people. You know, the Jews are one people that even with signs and wonders, the people that really stood against Peter when that man by the beautiful gate was healed, they saw a notable miracle, but they did not believe. Their soul is very powerful. A notable miracle was wrought. It's the Gentile that brought around and say, hey, what has just happened here? But the soul of the Jew, you must carry him through doctrine. Because he has a head of testimonies. He has seen miracles. He has seen many things. That we know that a notable miracle has been done, but don't preach in Jesus' name again. Who goes, how did you guys do this thing now? That is not their soul. Their soul, with notable miracles, they will sit there, you don't preach in this name. Because with all that you have done, have you done as much as our father Moses has done? That is what leads us to right knowledge and approach. The primary concern in witnessing is whether a believer has believed in their heart and confessed Jesus with their mouth. They should be led through the process of believing and confessing rather than focusing on past sins or denominational beliefs. You can't go out there and begin to say that because you are wearing earring, you are not wearing earring, you are wearing trouser, you are not wearing trouser, you are doing Jericho. All those things are not ministering the gospel. The primary focus of the gospel is the person of Jesus. Have you believed in the person of the Lord Jesus? And it's not even about saying that, God has not been pleased with your past life. So you must begin to write them down. You know, I used to do this, I used to do that. Then begin to confess your past sins. No. A dead man does not need to confess his past sins. A dead man needs to be quickened. And the way a dead man will be quickened is by believing. You believe with the heart and you confess with the mouth. It's about revealing man's needs and God's provision through Jesus Christ, leading people to experience the new birth, and then followed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. At times, the circumstances and needs of the unsaved become the avenue through which the Lord reaches them. The moment of harvest may come through a longing in the heart, a question in the mind, or a physical need. Therefore, a believer must remain spiritually sensitive to discern these opportunities. Just as Paul the Apostle spoke about the unknown God and Philip the Evangelist ministered through the Ethiopian eunuch's question, many were also reached through attendance to their needs. Genuine concern for people's souls make witnessing more effective than speaking out of mere obligation. It's not just a mere obligation that, my own is just to witness to you. If you receive or you don't receive, that's your own business. You know, but there must be a genuine concern, knowing that this person could be headed for an eternity without the Lord. And that will not just push you to just say, I just want to talk. No, it will push you to observe the protocols of the Spirit. Because there are protocols to minister to people. There are orders. Because Holy Ghost knows about them. There's nobody Holy Ghost does not know. There's nobody. Even the worst sinner that you think is worse, Holy Ghost knows that person. And Holy Ghost, every single time, what the Holy Ghost is doing is walking around that person to bring that person to conviction. And when that person hits a particular point, Holy Ghost knows that, hey, you know, how many of you know that there is no amount of firebrand person you can be? When Saul was still Saul, that you want to go and minister the gospel to Saul. No matter spirit that you carry. I say, Saul, I've heard that you've been going from house to house, bringing out Christians. All of them dispersed. But Holy Ghost was walking around that man. And Holy Ghost would have gone to Jesus and say, Sir Jesus, sir, this particular one, the only encounter if you do amo. Because no man on earth had that capacity to minister to Saul. No man. He will not hear you. You might even be the next victim. Imagine when Ananias now went and said, bro, Saul, Lord Jesus appeared to me that I should lay my hands upon that I might receive your sight. Where was Ananias before? Even if he was hearing, he would say, I'm not hearing this one. This one, I'm not hearing this one. But at that point, something already happened to that man. So there are many men that certain things, it's under certain circumstances, Holy Ghost will bring them into certain situations. At that point, you are just there to just minister, but they've already done a larger part of the work. That heart is crying, Lord, what shall I do? And then say, yeah, go. When you go, they say, it was Ananias that discipled Saul. But really, the person that did that work was the Lord Jesus. Holy Ghost had done a lot of work. The greatest evangelizer is the Holy Ghost, though. But the funny thing is that he needs you. Because he needs men to hear the words of this gospel. So when the church scattered abroad, everybody to your tent, O Israel. Everybody was running. But the Lord was still looking at that man, Saul. I have to encounter this one. I have to encounter this one. There's nobody that will stand before God in judgment and say, God, I never heard this gospel. There's nobody that will say, God, you never did a particular work for, that you did not try enough for me to be born again. Nobody. Nobody. No soul. Even the worst souls, that killing somebody does not mean anything to him. Holy Ghost is still around that soul. doing his work. They will put them into certain tight corners that they will just say, what can I do to be saved? And then somebody will just come, minister the gospel to them, and then they will be saved. Witnessing may oftentimes accompany by the gifts of the Spirit, such as revelational gifts or power gifts. That thing that Paul did, the hand of God is upon you, be blind for a season, was a kind of power. Sometimes miracle can involve opening of the blind. Sometimes closing the one that is open. For the sake of the gospel. One person's eye was open, they close them. Because he doesn't want another person to become born again. That was a miracle. But thank God they say for a season. After that season, I'm sure that's Elimas the sorcerer. If you say, what can I do to be saved? Revelational gifts. They can be a word of knowledge about somebody. One of our sisters was saying that Holy Ghost just prompted in her heart something about happening about a particular person. By the time she went to meet that person and tell the person was open to hear her. You know, you're not just going and say, I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord. Some people have been greeted by issues. I don't want to hear any other greeting. They've been, so when you want to greet them with a word of knowledge. Say, I perceive this about you and this and this. I say, eh? How did you know? Say, no. I have an inside information. Lord told me to minister. That person will be open to hear you. Say, I bring you greetings. Say, sir, please don't greet me again. Can you hold your greetings? All these things will not be possible if we are not a people that are spirit-filled. If you are not a people that we walk with the Holy Ghost pari passu, if you are not a people that when you wake up in the morning, you can spend time in devotion. Holy Ghost will drop a person's name, something about that person. The same thing that God does. You know, Jesus did it a lot of times for Pahagin, praying for a particular conference. He will see a person sitting in a particular place with a particular dress, and he will hear the ailment that person is coming with, where that person is coming from. By the time he says all those things, that person's faith has already come up to receive his healing. Holy Ghost can tell you, we are going to enter a bus with a particular person. Person will be like this. This is what is happening to this person's mommy, person's daddy. This is the state of the person's mind right now. And that's what we use to minister to the person. Gifts of the Spirit. Say, giveth he severally as he wills. Even if the Holy Ghost wills and you are not willing, there's no way we give you. If you are not ready, you are not open, you are not at that place. He said, earnestly covet the best gifts. But if you are a person, you don't care. There's no way that even if they want to will it, they cannot will it to you. So all these things are available for the ministry of the gospel. For reaching out to the unsaved. Reaching out to the lost. Satan has bastardized it. You know, there are a lot of, you know, fake ones out there. But the presence of fake simply means that there's the original. Must be sensitive to pick how the Lord will have us minister. Sensitivity gets stronger in the place of prayer, the place of fellowship, and in the place of obedience. When Peter and John were going to pray, and they'll have to go through the beautiful gate, and that man was looking on them steadfastly as if he should receive something. He said, silver and gold I have not. He said, such as I what? It's not good not to have silver and gold and you don't have anything to still give. Even if you now have silver and gold, and silver and gold is all that you can give, we are still miserable. Because we must be able to give beyond that. That man, what they really gave that man is just beyond him leaping and jumping. He was able to praise God. Because by reason of that thing, his spirit man, he believed. They can't say he praised God if it's that his spirit man was not quickened immediately. By reason of that miracle, he believed. He believed. He was born again. What they gave that man, his spirit man came alive. Not, it was beyond just that miracle alone. Because the miracle is meant to do a deeper work. A miracle that is beyond your body. Such as I have given in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Trans. us, foreigners, Christian among us, the most.
Chaparanto vene kenke tondi la muna fen fiante lai do vene dije. Juva fa gige velegio. Equipping. Go forth equipped. Go forth with an equipping. Oh, an equipping. Be aware of the equipping that is within you. That which I have put on your within. Even that which I have lightened up on your within. Oh, that equipping on your within. Even that equipping of my spirit. Resident within. Is able to bring forth. Is able to minister forth. Is able to steer you forth. Is able to direct you forth. Is able to give you even that unction required, even to stand and to minister me, and to minister me. Oh, is a standing in my stead, is a standing in my stead, and I won't send you forth even without necessary equipping, of my spirit. So go in the consciousness of my spirit on your within. Great is the equipping, great is the gifting, great is the personality, great is the help, great is he that is within you. So go forth in that might, go forth in that understanding, go forth in that awareness, say the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes the price to pay for such as I have is being with Jesus. You know, we say they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, sometimes it's a price, a sacrifice, you know, of living a spirit-filled life. That's why we began to talk about the place of prayer, the place of, you know, fellowship, place of obedience, you know, such as I have, give I thee. Next one is interest in people. Heartfelt care and genuine love expressed through our conversations and interactions help open men's hearts to receive from us, whether with those we encounter daily or briefly. Believers should remain attentive to their countenance and circumstances. As we sincerely care for people, the Holy Spirit grants wisdom and direction concerning how best to minister to them. Genuine care for people, genuine interest in people opens people up. You'll be able to have an inroad into a heart of a man, you know, when you are genuinely burdened for the salvation of that heart. Genuinely burdened for the salvation of that person. The Holy Ghost will find us as worthy emissaries. Can we say amen? Amen. Worthy emissaries to entrust us with certain secrets, entrust us with certain instructions, certain things that we can do, you know, on behalf of that person. Because it's a partnership, it's a co-laboring. You know, an angel can appear to a person, but the angel will still say that you have to call for someone that will preach. Because angels themselves cannot preach the gospel. Yes, I heard somebody say that. What about that angel with the everlasting gospel preaching it? They are doing it through men. Men will still be the ones to still preach it. That's why even that angel, you know, had to say that, go and call for Peter, the man that will be able to minister words by which you will be saved. So they can bear it in the spirit, but they can work with men to ensure that the gospel is preached. All the ministration we've been having last year, you know, concerning walking in the spirit, living in the spirit, is not for waste. This is also part of why. Because a lot of people's, you know, salvation experience is at stake. Lastly, our last subtopic here, relying on and witnessing by the spirit. Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and what? And unto the uttermost part of the earth. It is the nature and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Godhead, to bear witness. He continually speaks and is burdened for the salvation of men. Since conviction is wrought through the Holy Ghost, the field of the spiritually dead and lost cannot be effectively reached apart from him. John 16 verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit equip the believer to witness effectively to unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is the believer's helper and enabler in evangelism. Therefore, the believer must not be governed by self-consciousness, but by dependence upon the Holy Spirit, who knows the way to every heart. The Holy Spirit provides direction concerning the timing and manner of witnessing, as he grants utterance, wisdom, and spiritual skill. The believer becomes effective in reaching the lost. Paul's Macedonian call clearly demonstrates the leading role of the Holy Spirit in the work of evangelism. In fact, you know, since Acts chapter 2, we have seen the effect of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind into the room, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Question: how did over 3,000 people hear tongues from one house? How? I believe that the wind carried their voices. Holy Ghost can carry your voice. Yes. And all of them gathered together. And then some people began to say, oh, it's because they are drunk. But Peter stood up and corrected that notion. And by that, he was able to minister. And that same day, 3,000 people believed. That's not ordinary. That's not ordinary. Holy Ghost was actively involved in that ministration. Because Peter stood up, he was full of the Spirit. What he was saying, when it was done, those people were saying, what shall we do to be saved? Because why? Holy Ghost was there. A believer's personal character limitations are overcome as he yields himself to the Holy Spirit. Through the infilling of the Spirit, boldness, wisdom, and the proper manner of ministry are supplied, enabling effective witness and ministration. I heard certain stories about, you know, some of our fathers in faith, you know, that they'll go to countries that don't understand English. I think it was in a car. I can't really recollect the exact scenario, you know, but eventually he opened his mouth and began to converse with the person. He was speaking, but the person was hearing his language. He felt he was speaking in English. He was speaking in English, but the person was hearing his own tongue. And by that person became born again. And after they were done, he wanted to continue in English, but the person did not hear again. Is that natural? That was the Holy Ghost at work. Because why is it that they were speaking in tongues, but everybody was hearing their own tongue? So these people are giving glory to God. Christianity is not natural. Christianity is not ordinary. I mean, the Holy Ghost was giving them utterance. They were speaking in tongues, and every single person was hearing their own native language. That was enough testimony to convert 3,000 people in a day. So Holy Ghost is not limited by language. You know, God, the gospel is not just for people that wear suit and tie. In fact, fishermen, they were the ministers of the gospel. People that did not understand one bit of English. We market women, everybody. The gospel is not just for the suited. It's not for the big organizations. Even markets. Places that you feel that these people are just so rough. That is where the gospel likes to go. Because it's not the amount of English you can conjure that makes a person believe. It's not your eloquence. It's not your grammatical correctness. That is, this person can speak. Oh, no. What happens when the person is hearing you is that there's conviction in the heart. Who is giving that conviction is the Holy Ghost. And it's not because of English. It's because of an understanding Holy Ghost is bringing to that person. So he's not limited by language. He's not limited by tribe, ethnicity, country. Every man on earth, say his will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We had testimony of people that naturally they were stammerers. But when they want to minister gospel, their tongue became loose. And they will minister and there will be no hiccup in between. So smooth, and people will become born again. So Holy Ghost does not care about human infirmities. Because he wants to minister the gospel. He needs a vessel, and anybody that is willing and ready, he can inspire their utterance. Can we say hallelujah? Witnessing by the Spirit is often accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. For the believer is endued with power by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, witnessing requires stepping out in faith and obedience to the Spirit. A believer should not fear praying for or ministering to others as directed by the Lord. Remember, I gave us a testimony of a particular colleague of ours. I think the person was a Muslim. The person had some particular issues. And he was like, do you mind if I pray with you? Many times they will accept, pray with me. And Mama prayed, and that situation became normalized. So you'd be like, what if I pray for this person and nothing happens? Are you praying in your name? Whose name are you praying in? Whose name are you praying in? Who is going to heal the person? Who is going to restore that person? Are you the one? I just remember, you know, this week when I was going to work, you know, I entered a car going to work. I had two people by my side, two people in front. The person in front had dread, so I didn't even feel any inspiration to minister to him. He had dreads on his head. But this lady beside me, I had that inspiration to, why not share with her and the likes? We are four guys, one lady. Why would I not start talking to the lady alone? My own, forgive me, I was fighting myself. So, okay, let me start with this guy beside me. I was looking at his side, he was busy on his phone. To start is the issue. I spoke with the man beside me and good morning, sir. How was the weekend? He smiled back at me, said, weekend was fine, how are you doing too? And I began to engage him. Are you born again? I said, yes, I'm born again. Okay, how do you know you are born again? I try not to do bad. I ensure that the good things I do outweigh the bad ones. You know we are not all perfect now. That was his response. You know we are not all perfect now. At least I'm just trying to be a good person. And I said, sir, that is not what it means to be born again. He said, okay. Then I began to expound to him, you know, that every man is a sinner. And that you cannot by your own good deeds, you know, please God. That is why God gave Jesus Christ. So I ministered the gospel to him. And when I was there, he said, I understand now. Does he want to be born again? He said, yes. We prayed together, you know, and I was done with him. And I looked at the other lady. Lady 2 was now pressing our phone. Wouldn't it have been good for me to just announce in the car and just, but I knew that was not how the Lord wanted it. So when I looked at her, I asked her again. She was not giving me face at all. Are you born again? She said, born again. What does it mean for you to be born again? He asked me, you too. How do you know you are born again? I don't take it as an offense. I now use that as an avenue to now explain the new birth. How I know I'm born again? And I explained it to her, preached to her. She said, oh, yes, I'm born again. I said, what about, are you baptized with the Holy Ghost? She said, no, she doesn't believe in it. I said, why? She has been to fellowships whereby they begin to tell her what to say. Say this, say that. So I felt that was why the Holy Ghost wanted me to speak to her. So I now from scriptures now showed her how men became born again and spoke as the Lord gave them all chance. Just that we don't have time for me to have prayed for her. But she was writing down the scriptures and said that she would go over them by herself and the likes. When I now got down, that was now when the guy with the dreadlocks also now got down. I said, okay. And I said, yeah, my brother for now. I said, I do. I work. You don't debone again. You're waiting down on me. So I spoke to him. I said, I don't debone again. I debone again. I was not like, sir, you know, I don't want to see you for this life. I want to see you for the life to come too. So you know, say you are not only body, you also have a spirit, you have a soul inside that. If you drop this body, he was listening to me as we were walking. When you were there, say, ah, thank you, sir. I spoke to him and I was unable to pray with him on because he was in a hurry. I just ministered. I know that's a seed. So I'm just saying that sometimes you might minister and you might get mocked. Sometimes you might minister and some people will give ears to you. Look at Apostle Paul's testimony, Acts chapter 17, verse 32. See, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some did what? Some mocked. This is Paul. This is our big Paul. Our role model. Some did what? And some other people, they did like, you know, when you don't want to buy something, it's like, send me the details of that thing, I'll get back to you. They say, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And some others believe. So sometimes you will preach and some people will not answer you. People's face will be very hard. Some people have hard questions. But that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. Some people will ask you a question like Nicodemus. But by the Spirit, you understand the true need of their soul. Sometimes you will not answer some people's questions. Holy Ghost will direct you on what to say. What exactly to respond. Because that soul is crying for something. And Jesus, by his Spirit, said, except a man be born again. He did not dwell on what he was saying. Can we say amen? I see God helping us. And even as we go out this week, and I believe that many people will still evangelize. Can we just bow down our heads this morning? Let's thank God. Let's receive boldness. Let's receive boldness. Let's receive boldness.
Thank you, Jesus. Lego Parum Sambira Nakas Mamaranaga Lido Dosta Sita. Thank you, Father. To you be all the glory, all the honor, all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I think can we appreciate and Pastor Praise? Many of you are blessed by that. Pastor Praise is dangerous. So just one vehicle, three souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, first of all, I think one thing is that I really like one of the emphasis of the teaching. And in terms of us being able to start from anywhere, to be able to win, souls. Because many times, you know, you will never really see any place where Jesus ministered to somebody. And the first thing he told them was to change something about their outward life. It will still change, but that was not his first conversation. You know, so the gospel is not condemnation. You know, the gospel is the good news. I'm telling you, there's no sinner that does not know what he's doing is wrong. There's no sinner that does not know that he's not. Do you understand? So the gospel is not necessarily reminding them of that. Do you understand? I'm not saying that confession of sins will come, but the good news, you know, must first come. You know, so I trust that the Lord would help us. The Lord will strengthen us. The Lord, when Apostle Paul said, I'm being made all things to what? All men. If an intellectual comes to you and tells you things while he's disputing the gospel, you know, God should help us and quicken our minds to make us bright enough to start on that level and take them. You know, have you heard of Big Bang Theory before? Is it true? No. But I'm telling you, if somebody comes to you with Big Bang Theory, just tell them, yes, I believe it too. The Big Bang Theory says what? That the earth was made from a small atom that expanded and formed everything. Tell them that that atom is the word. That and God said, from that atom of the word, everything exploded. We began to see light. We began to see planets. We began to see things. Yes, tell them it's true. But you start from there and you take them to the gospel. Someone shout, Bishara.
Bishara.
Amen. So anywhere, is it the poor? The gospel preached to the poor? Jesus will use examples that they can relate with. Do you understand? Paul will stand before, you know, people, kings. So at any level, to the intellectual, to the disputer, to the scribe, to the layman, to the Pharisee, you see Jesus saying that, and he started from the prophet, from the law and the prophets, and taught them up till that Christ should be crucified and be glorified and enter into his passion. So, you know, I trust that the Lord, as Pastor Praise has told us, will strengthen us to, for our mind not to be narrow, you know, to be able to capture men from every angle in the marketplace, wherever it is, we see Paul, you know, ministering. And I trust that the Lord will bless us mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. No, and he also mentioned, you know, concerning that ministration to Sergius Paulus. And I remember E.W. Kenyon, you know, of blessed memory, Daddy Kenneth Hagin used to quote him a lot. He said he noticed by experience that when ministering the gospel, sometimes under his breath, he would just say, "I rebuke every foul spirit that is resisting this person from receiving the word of God." As he's speaking, you know, he just mutter under his breath. He said he recorded many notable breakthroughs like that. Do you know why? Because if you check the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, he says, "But if our gospel be what hid, it is hid to them that are lost." He now says what? "In whom the God of this world has blinded what? The minds of them, which what? Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine unto them." That shine unto them is shine to their hearts. So let me tell you, first of all, you know, like Daddy has taught us many times, that the mind is like the window to the man, the heart is like the door. Now, many times, oh, let me tell you the truth. There is no man that can resist the gospel. So that's the first level. So the reason why many people are not believing or accepting, there's a covering over their hearts. Because immediately you remove that covering, whoever they are, if that light touches a soul, there's no way that soul will not respond. So many times the battle over those who are lost is removing that covering. And that covering is from the mind. So just emphasizing what Pastor Praise has said, in terms of sometimes the battle is even through prayer and on the knees. Because no matter how you paint it, no matter how you picture it, that soul will not, because there's covering. It says that if our gospel be, it is it to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts. You know, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So that light can be shining, but there's a canopy over that soul. And until it is removed, there might be no response. So, you know, just strengthening that, you know, in terms of prayer. Then finally, the third thing I want to say, how many of us know that the gospel is not English? The gospel is not Yoruba. The gospel is not Greek. And the gospel is not Hebrew. The gospel is a soul language. Say soul language. I'm telling you. You know, Apostle Paul said that through the word foolishness of preaching. So when you are ministering to the gospel to a soul, it might look a bit weak in terms of, how will you just say, someone died for you and he loves you so much and God loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to quicken your spirit. If you can just believe with your heart and just say it with your mouth and you'll be saved. That language you are speaking is not the outward man that is listening to it. The outward man, yes, is a channel. He's receiving it. But the soul understands the gospel. The soul understands. The soul understands. Many times, how you know is that when a soul is about to depart, no matter the joviality that soul has been doing, no matter the arrogance, some of them, you see them trembling. They know. Soul know they must give account. You will see them serious. I mean, even in times past, they will call for, when somebody is sick, they will call for what? A priest to come and stay by this person. The person will call, begin to confess, you know, and all those penance and all those kind of things, because there was no light of the gospel. So souls know. So the person you are speaking to, his face may be hard, crack, crack, crack. That soul is understanding the gospel. Just so it. You are not speaking to the outward man, because it is the soul that must first believe for the spirit man, what? To be quickened. The soul is what you are speaking to. It's what you are ministering to. Forget about that look on the face. Forget about it. Like that person Pastor Praise was talking about. I'm sure when he was talking to the other person, she must have been waiting. I'm sure he will come to me. So she must have been preparing her face hard like that. But that soul would have been longing for that. She eventually gave in. So, you know, even bad guys, they know it. They know that if a girl is looking strong, like it doesn't mean anything. They put one little here. They will wait. Try another one. Before you know it, she will. So, because they know that what they are reaching is not her face that is looking at like that. They are looking, they are trying to reach her heart. So that's how the soul is. So don't be taken away from what? By the outward man. You know, and I trust that the Lord will help us and grant us that understanding in Jesus' name. The gospel must always be preached by the agency of man. So we see, Pastor Praise taught us, we see, in fact, I even have it, PPP. We see Peter, an angel appeared to Cornelius. They still had to send who? A man to minister to him. We see Philip, the eunuch was reading, you understand, an angel even appeared to Philip. Someone will say, why didn't the angel just do it? No, it's through the agency of man. It's by man that death entered into the world. It's by man also that the free gift has been given to all. It's by man that the gospel was what? Must be preached. So we must know our role and responsibility. We also see what Paul, the just one, appeared to him, right? Told him it's hard to kick against the pricks, right? But they still sent him to who? Ananias, who confirmed that ministration, laid hands on him, he received the Holy Ghost, and from there he was pushed. You know, he then came into different encounters. But that gate, that entry gate, is through what? The agency of who? Of man. May the Lord strengthen us mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's just a hymn that I remember, as Pastor Praise was teaching, that song just teared up in my heart. It's a very simple song. We'll just sing maybe two stanzas and we'll leave.
Give us, O Lord, thine unction, anoint us for thy work. Arise and set us in motion, O Lord, the man of war. Baptize us, Lord, with fire, and set our souls aflame to burn and shine for thy cause. Revive your zeal in us. Refine us, Lord, and cleanse us. Clothe us in holiness. Transform our thoughts and nature till we your glory show. New heart, more love, more passion for souls in Satan's train. With who connect, use us still, make us fishers of men. Not gold, not power, not knowledge will thine heavens unlock, but prayer and faith and unity will bring the latter rain. With tears and groans and fasting, O Lord, help us to pray. Travailing us in bed for souls till you revive the church.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.